Intercessory Prayer, Chapter 6, Continued. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus taught us to pray, "Do not lead us into temptation," but James indicates God does not tempt man. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. James chapter 1, verse 13. So who is the tempter to whom Jesus is referring? The Bible clearly reveals that this is the role of our enemy, Satan. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. The scriptures repeatedly warn of temptations which come from the devil. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible explains that each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. James chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. Satan is the tempter, but we are drawn into his snare when we allow our fleshly desires to entice us. Such desires birth sin, and sin results in death. Some of Satan's attacks arise from uncontrolled evil passions from within, while other temptations come from without, through our senses of hearing, seeing, feeling, touching, and tasting. Whatever their source, the Apostle Paul assures us, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. When we pray, "Do not lead us into temptation," we are asking God to preserve us from the enticement to sin. Even Jesus was not delivered from temptation, but was preserved in it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. The Apostle John assures us, "We know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin, but the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil, and the wicked one does not lay hold or get a grip on him or touch him." 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, Amplified Version. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, the Apostle Paul provides detailed information about the evil one and the spiritual armor which God provides for our defense. Paul emphatically declares we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and stand boldly in the face of these evil forces. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 13. He decrees that it is possible to stand against every wile, or deceit, cunning, and craftiness of the devil. Paul admonishes that we should wage a war of good warfare, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Fight an effective fight of faith, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And battle intelligently with purpose, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. Paul emphasizes that the battle is not a natural one, and natural weapons are ineffective. Spiritual battles must be fought with spiritual weapons. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. The purpose of the armor is to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, Satan. Paul commands you to put on this spiritual armor, which means it is your responsibility to appropriate what God has provided. To put on means you take hold of something and apply it to yourself. Here is how to do it as you intercede each day for yourself and others. Armor. Loins girded with truth. Declaration to make. Jesus, you are my truth. Promise to claim. John chapter 14, verse 6. Opposite spirit to bind. Deception. Armor. Breastplate of Jesus. Righteousness. Declaration to make. You are my righteousness. Promise to claim. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Opposite spirit to bind, unrighteousness. Armor, feet shod with Jesus, the preparation of the gospel. Declaration to make, you are my readiness. Promise to claim, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Opposite spirit to bind, lethargy. Armor, the shield of faith. Declaration to make, Jesus, you are my faith. Promise to claim. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Opposite spirit to bind, unbelief and doubt. Armor, the helmet of salvation. Declaration to make. Jesus, you are my salvation. Promise to claim. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Opposite spirit to bind, vain imaginations and evil thoughts. Armor, the sword of the Spirit, or the Word of God. Declaration to make, Jesus, you are my living Word. Promise to claim, John chapter 1, verse 14. Opposite spirit to bind, lies of Satan. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The word for indicates the authority by which the model prayer has been prayed. It means because the kingdom, power, and glory belong to God, we can claim the provisions, promises, and protection of this prayer. When we arrive at this final portion of the model prayer and declare, "Yours is the kingdom," we are coming into agreement with everything God says about his kingdom. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. It is his kingdom, but as heirs it is our kingdom also. It is a legacy conferred by our Father, and it pleases him to give it to us. The word for power is dunamis, from which the English words dynamic and dynamite come. When we end our prayer with, "Yours is the power," we are acknowledging the dynamic power of God with its dynamite-like potential for fulfilling our petitions. When we declare, "Yours is the power," God echoes back to us the words of Jesus, "I give you power over all the power of the enemy." This assures an answer to all you have interceded for in the model prayer. We then declare, "Yours is the glory." Glory is one of the richest words of the English language. No single word can serve as a good synonym, but here are some words that describe it. Honor, praise, splendor, radiance, power, exaltation, worthiness, likeness, beauty, renown, and rank. Jesus said, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one." John chapter 17, verse 22. The same glory with which Jesus was glorified by the Father is a gift to you. All you have to do is claim it. You should be going from glory to glory, not from defeat to defeat. You may be discouraged and despondent and feel cold and lifeless spiritually, but the word of the Lord to you today is, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 2, the Amplified Version. God's glory guarantees provision. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Strength. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Joy. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, and 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 10. Liberty. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Rest. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. Sanctification. Exodus chapter 29, verse 43. Unity with other believers. John chapter 17, verse 22. This word means exactly what it says, forever, that it is eternal, having no end. As you conclude your prayer, you are ascribing the kingdom, power, and glory to your Father forever. You are linking yourself in an eternal bond with your Father because you are acknowledging that you share in his kingdom, power, and glory. Amen. When we use the word Amen, it seals our prayer with powerful authority because Amen is one of the names of Christ. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Christ is called the Amen of God, for all of God's promises are fulfilled in him. When we say Amen, it means we have prayed all our petitions in the name of Jesus. The word Amen does not mean over and out, I'm done praying. The meaning of this word is, even so as I have prayed it, even so shall it be done. So when you say Amen, you are actually making a declaration of faith.